The Torah, when talking about the Korban Chatos, introduces one unique law, which applies specifically to a Korban Chatos, followed by two other laws, which although stated regarding a Korban Chatos, we understand that it actually applies to all Korbanos. The first law which the Torah talks about is if any of the blood of a Korban Chatos goes onto an item of clothing, and the same applies if it goes onto a different item, as long as certain conditions are met, as we saw in the previous Mishnah, then there is a requirement that Chabes v'Makom Kadosh, you should wash the blood off of that item of clothing inside the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, and it's forbidden to take it out. The next pasuk immediately following that introduces a new law, V'chol kli cheres asher tvush al bo yishover, an earthenware utensil in which the Korban Chatos meat was cooked needs to be smashed. And just like the Torah requires that the blood be washed off the item of clothing inside the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, we learn that that applies also to the requirement of smashing the earthenware. It must be smashed inside the courtyard. Now the Torah in the continuation of that pasuk continues, the imbichlin choshes bushola, if the meat of the Korban Chatos was cooked in a copper utensil, and the same applies to any other metal utensil, umayrak v'shutaf b'moyim, then it needs to be rinsed in two different ways. We'll see what exactly the difference between marika and shtifa are. They're two different types of rinsing. It needs to be rinsed in water. Now, the reason for the last of those three laws is not really a law unique to karbanos. Rather, any time there is a utensil which has forbidden food absorbed into it, if you have, let's say, a metal utensil which was used for cooking something not kosher, or something which is chometz before Pesach, so in order to deem that utensil kosher again, or fit for use on Pesach, whatever it may be, one can do a process called hagola. Hagola is when you dip that utensil into boiling hot water, and there is a rule, kaboloi kapoltoi, in the same way that the forbidden food was absorbed into the utensil, that is the way to get it out. So since the forbidden food substance was absorbed in there because it was used in cooking and boiling with water, so if you put it into boiling hot water by itself, then that can get rid of the absorbed substance. Now, why does Hagola need to be performed after somebody cooks a korban in this utensil, in this pot, whatever it may be? The answer is because since part of it is absorbed into there, the korban becomes nisar. Once it passes the time limit for eating that korban, then it becomes forbidden to eat it, and it needs to be destroyed. So it now is considered to be a forbidden substance, and as such, we'd not be able to use that pot for a different korban until you get rid of the forbidden substance of yesterday's korban, or a korban which is past its deadline, for example, a korban which was offered 2 days ago. Depending on what korban, that would obviously depend on what the deadline is. So the third thing mentioned in that part of the Torah is essentially hagola to dip the pot, or whatever utensil it is, in boiling hot water in order to get rid of the absorbed korban meat, which would be considered noisar. And this is how we know that this is a general requirement, not only for the korban chatos. Because noisar, when the meat is left over and becomes invalid and needs to be burnt, that applies to all korbanos, not only a korban chatos. Now, earthenware, once it absorbs a forbidden substance, there is an understanding that the substance can never be drawn out of the earthenware. So there's no way of doing hagola with an earthenware utensil, and that is why it needs to be smashed. There would be no way of reusing an earthenware utensil for a korban, unless it's all on the same day or within 2 days, because there would be noisar meat absorbed into it. And that is the reason why in the second part of these three laws stated in the Torah over there, if the korban meat was cooked in earthenware, then the earthenware needs to be smashed. And we're going to understand quite simply that the second two parts of the three things mentioned in the Torah over there apply equally to all korbanos and not specifically a korban chatos. Begins the Mishnah, echad abeged v'echad asak v'echad ha'or. Whether it be an item of clothing or sackcloth or the hide of an animal, as long as the hide is soft enough that it is considered to be something fit for washing, if blood of a korban chatos lands on one of these materials, turin kibbus b'makom kadosh, it would require being washed in the holy place, meaning within the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. Secondly, ushvias klicheres, the smashing, the breaking of an earthenware utensil which was used to cook a korban. B'makom kadosh, this also needs to be done in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. And thirdly, umriko shtifa b'chinecheshes, the Marika and the Shtifa, two different types of what rinsing, as we're going to see. For now, we'll just look at this as regular Hag'olah, where you dip it into boiling hot water, which applies B'chlin Cheshes to copper utensils which were used for cooking the carbon Moroccan Kaddish. This needs to be done in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. And the Mishnah now says, Zechim v'chathos v'kodshe kodshim. This is a stringency which we see regarding a carbon chathos more than other carbonos, even those which are part of the group which have a higher level of holiness. And we are going to understand that this part of the Mishnah is referring only to the first out of the three things, namely the requirement to wash the item of clothing or the material when the blood of the carbon chathos lands on it. Mishnah Hey, Beged Sheyotza Chutz Akloim, an item of clothing which went outside of the curtains, meaning it left the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, after the blood of a Korban Chathos landed on it, and there's a requirement to wash it inside the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. Once it has left, does that law still apply? Yes, Nichnas, the Kohen should make sure that the item of clothing comes back into the courtyard, and he should wash it in that holy place within the courtyard. What happens if it, once it left the courtyard, it became tomei whilst it was outside of the curtains, outside of the courtyard? It's forbidden to bring something tomei into the courtyard. And therefore, ko'oi, he should make a tear on the item, and that way the item will no longer be considered a significant utensil, so it will lose its status of being tomei. Only a real utensil which has a specific use can become tomei. And once it's no longer tomei, then v'nichnos, he should make sure the item of clothing comes back into the courtyard, and then he can wash it in that holy place in the courtyard. It should be noted that the item of clothing shouldn't be torn totally. A tear should be made in the majority of the item, but it still needs to be kept as one whole item which is connected, so that the requirement of washing the item can be fulfilled. It needs to be the same item. Next, kli cheres, a earthenware utensil which was used for cooking a carbon, shiotza chutz akloim, which went out, it was taken out of the curtains, it left the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. Once again, nichnas v'shevim makom kadosh, a kohen should bring it in and break it in the holy place in the courtyard. Nitma chutz akloim. If it became tomei whilst it was outside of the curtains, outside of the parameters of the courtyard, noikvei, he should make a hole in it, which is at least the size of a small root. So it's a relatively small hole. It can't be too significant of a hole, because then it wouldn't only stop being tomei, it would stop being considered the same utensil. And we need it to be considered the same utensil so that we can fulfill the requirement of breaking that utensil, the same one, which was used for cooking the meat. So you should make a small hole, v'nichnas v'shevim makom kadosh, and bring it in and break it in the holy place in the courtyard. Mishnah Vav, klina choshes, a copper utensil, and the same goes for any metal utensil which was used for cooking the carbon. If it was taken out of the curtains, it was taken out of the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, nichnos, it needs to bring it back in, and he would perform merika or shtifa, two types of rinsing, which we'll elaborate on in a moment. He'll perform that in the holy place. What happens if it became tomei whilst it was outside of the courtyard? So you should make a real hole in it. It should be a much larger hole, because metal items need to have a larger hole in order for them not to be able to become tomei again, in order to get rid of their tumah. The problem is that now it's not considered to be the same utensil as the utensil which was used for cooking. And there's a requirement that it be considered the same utensil so that we can do merika or shtifa on that same utensil. And therefore, after it is brought back into the courtyard, they should bash the metal in shape to sort of get rid of the hole, and then it will be considered a proper utensil again. That's only once v'nichnas, after they bring it back in, and then they sort of get rid of half of the hole, or merka v'shoit v'makom kadosh, and then they would need to do merika or shtifa in the holy place, which means in the courtyard. Mishnah Zayin. Now the Mishnah goes into the details of how to complete the procedure of merika or shtifa. Echad shebishal b'ayiv, echad she'ol seichar yiseach. Whether the metal utensil was used for cooking the carbon inside of it, or whether only boiling hot water, or a boiling hot liquid which had the taste and the substance of the carbon meat inside of it, if that was poured into the metal utensil, although the Torah talks about a case where the meat of the carbon was cooked in the metal utensil, it definitely doesn't make a difference. even if it was only poured into it or whatever it is, the point is, if part of the substance of the carbon is absorbed into the metal utensil, then it needs to be gotten rid of by this process of hagala. As well as that, although the Torah states the requirement regarding a karban chatos, really it applies echad kodshi kodshim, echad kodshim kalim, to all karbanos, both karbanos in the group of kodshi kodshim, which have a high level of holiness, a karban chatos among them, or even if it's a karban which has a lower level of holiness, tunin, mriko, shtifa, all of these would require rinsing of mriko and shtifa. And we're going to understand simply that the same applies to the smashing of the earthenware utensil. That would also apply to all karbanos. So Rabbi Shimon says, kodshim kalim einon tunin mriko shtifa, utensils used for cooking karbanos of a lower level of holiness do not require mriko shtifa. Now, it's very important to realize that even according to Rabbi Shimon, all of the reasons which we explained are totally valid. And Rabbi Shimon agrees that hagala needs to be performed with these utensils. However, Rabbi Shimon says that hagala needs to be performed, but not mriko shtifa. Now, until now, we've assumed that mriko shtifa is just another way of saying hagala. But we're about to see that there are actually a couple of differences. For example, mriko shtifa, essentially the mriko is the hagala. That's when you would put it into boiling hot water. And shtifa means putting it in cold water after that. So that requirement only applies to high-level karbanos, according to Rabbi Shimon. An additional difference is that hagala only needs to be done on the part of the utensil which absorbed the substance, whereas mriko shtifa needs to be done to the entire item, even if only part of it absorbed the forbidden substance. And a third difference is that hagala doesn't have to be performed specifically with water. Any boiling hot liquid substance is sufficient, whereas mriko shtifa, the Torah says specifically, needs to be done with boiling hot water. Rabbi Tarfon says, it's true that the reason for this whole requirement of mriko shtifa is because of noisar, the meat of the carbon will become noisar, it will pass the deadline by which it needs to be consumed, and then it will become a forbidden substance. So the pot which has absorbed that forbidden substance can't be used to cook other karbanos. However, at a time of Yom Tov, over the Shalosh Regalim, when all of the Jewish people would come to the Beis HaMikdash and bring karbanos, so these pots were in constant use, and they would be used multiple times each day, and essentially, every time that you use the pot again, and you put boiling hot water into the pot, you're essentially performing hagala on the previous meat, which was absorbed into the pot. And since it's a very busy time, you'll certainly have done that on the same day, so or on the next day perhaps, but it will be before the deadline of when the previous carbon becomes noisar. And as a result, Rabbi Tarfon says in Bishal Boi B'Tchilas HaRegel, if a pot was used to cook a carbon at the beginning of Yom Tov, Yivashel Boi Eskol HaRegel, you can use the same pot to continue cooking for the entire Yom Tov, even for Pesach and Sukkos, where it lasts for over a week. Because each time you cook it, you'll essentially be doing Hagolah on the previous time. However, the Chachomim argue and they say that you can only use the same pot until the time of eating, meaning until the deadline of the first carbon which was cooked in the pot. The Chachomim are concerned that you won't necessarily fill up the entire pot with hot water, you won't necessarily fulfill all of the requirements of mriko shtifa every time you use it for cooking. And therefore the regular laws of mriko shtifa would apply that you cannot really use the pot again a second time past the deadline of a carbon which had already been used in that pot. Continues the Mishnah now, mriko shtifa, how exactly is this mriko shtifa done? What is the definition of mriko and shtifa? Says the Mishnah, mriko kimrika sakois. Mriko is like the mriko of a cup. When people talk about a mriko of a cup, they refer to washing it on the inside. Or shtifa kishtifa sakois. And shtifa refers to what people talk about when they talk about shtifa of a cup, and that is washing it on the outside. And we're going to understand that this Mishnah holds that that is the only difference between mriko and shtifa. And this, according to this opinion, even mriko is not like regular hagala. Mriko means washing it on the outside with cold water. And the Torah is not talking about hagala at all. It happens to be there's also a requirement of hagala for all of the reasons that we described. When the Torah talks about mriko shtifa, according to this part of the Mishnah, not like we've explained until now, mriko or shtifa refers to washing the inside and the outside of the utensil with cold water. And there's a separate requirement of hagala, which is not related to the actual mriko or shtifa. I'm going to read the next part of the Mishnah without the words b'chamin, There's a discussion as to whether that word is supposed to be here. We're going to read it without. Mariko Shtifa Betzainain. According to this part of the Mishnah, both Mariko and Shtifa are performed with cold water. Now, the Mishnah ends off with one more law, and that is, we mentioned that when one wants to get rid of a forbidden substance which has been absorbed in a utensil, the way to do that is kaboloi kapoltoi, in the same way as a substance was absorbed, that's how you're going to get rid of it. So for example, pots which absorb the forbidden substance via the boiling hot water, they become permitted if you put it in boiling hot water by itself. Hashafud v'ha'askala, a spit, some sort of stick which you would put a meat on the stick and roast it like that in the fire. And an askla is some sort of metal netting, a metal plate, which was also used for roasting in a fire. So in general, if a forbidden, let's say non-kosher meat was cooked in that way, in order to make that metal fit for use for kosher items, you need to place it in a fire by itself until it becomes red hot. That having been said, the Mishnah says regarding these things, if they were used for cooking karbanos, one does not need to put them into a fire in order to get rid of that forbidden substance, the noisar. Rather, it is enough, magilon b'chamin, it's enough to dip them in boiling hot water. The reason being that this is more lenient than a regular case where the forbidden substance was forbidden already from the time that it was absorbed into the metal, or into whatever was being used. Over here, when it was absorbed, it was totally permitted. Later on, it became forbidden, and therefore more lenient. And all that is necessary is to do regular hagala in boiling hot water.